Welcome to another Carlo and Load Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've got an interesting guest tonight, Steve Butch Sims, who coached the State Under 17 softball team. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Or would you prefer Butch?
Whatever. Call me whatever you like.
Be careful now.
Yeah. But I remember Butch from a long, long time ago when I was playing baseball at Central Districts, and there. Two young boys walking across the paddock to start their baseball careers, and your elder brother and yourself coming to your initiation for baseball. That was what? How long ago? 40 years ago?
44 years ago it would have been.
Wow, because I did play footy with your brother, your elder brother.
Yes, it's great. At Central United, yep.
Yeah, many years ago. And obviously you won a medal in the under 15 for baseball, played in a premiership team, but somewhere you went over to the dark side and started playing softball. What happened?
Yeah, I think it's the same as all blokes. Most blokes, they have an interest in women, and some of the girls at school asked me to help them out, so I've been doing it ever since.
Now, that would have been about 38 years ago?
Yeah, correct. I was 16, yep.
Wow, 16.
And you've been softball and coaching softball since?
Correct, yep. I was still playing baseball up till my early 30s, and then continued coaching and playing a bit of men's softball and coaching the women's since.
And what do you prefer, can you compare them? I mean, because I would think being knowing much about softball or baseball, but when you compare the two sports, how do you find, how are they different? Which ones do you enjoy the most?
At the elite level, I believe that softball's quicker. There's not so many breaks in play or pitching changes or batters getting timed out and that sort of thing, but at the moment, the women's side of softball at the elite level is a lot quicker than a normal baseball game.
Now, you coach Port Adelaide in the A-grade softball competition, and you've been coaching at state level. Now, tell us a little bit about how you got into doing the state under-17s.
Yeah, I've been doing the under-17s now for 2 years. Before that, I was involved in the men's side of the state stuff, and then a position came available. Some of the parents of some of the quality juniors suggested I throw my hat in the ring, and been doing it for the last 2 years.
Now, we have talked a bit about, we talked about the softball girls and the nationals when they did compete earlier this year. Can you, remind us how the girls went? Because they did very well.
Yeah, the under-17 girls, we finished second overall. The only team that we had any trouble with was really New South Wales. We beat every other state during the tournament and ended up finishing, well above all the other states, but New South Wales were our nemesis, that's all. Just weren't quite good enough to beat them.
Now, in the under-17 level, they have a national team now. They in the 30-person squad, I would imagine you would have had 6-7 players?
Well, you'd expect that. Yeah, we finished second only to New South Wales, and out of a squad of 30, we only ended up getting 3 reps picked in the Australian squad.
3? I remember I saw you play against Queensland. You had their measure easily. How many Queensland players got in?
Yeah, well, Queensland didn't even make the finals in our competition, and they finished with 8 players in a 30-player squad.
Wow, and WA, I saw you beat them as well. How many state players did they have?
Yeah, we beat them quite easily on the occasions we played, and they still finished with 4.
Gee, what about Victoria?
Victoria only had the 1.
Okay, and of course New South Wales?
Yeah, New South Wales, which you'd expect, they were quite dominant. They had 12.
Yeah, look, that sounds fair, because I saw them play a couple of times, and they were cut above.
Yeah.
But Queensland, I mean, you guys look so much better. That girl that played first base, did she make it?
Yes, she did. Yeah. She was a daughter of a well-known sports person, and she must have performed really good in the other games, because against us she didn't do a lot.
No, I'm talking about for South Australia, the first base.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Jenny Gray, our first base. She was our best player quite easily, picked by all of our coaches and the coaching staff, and not even a mention.
She got a lot of hits at crucial times in the games I was watching.
She did. She batted over 300 for the tournament, and at first base didn't make an error in over 50 plays.
So Butch, selection can always, in a lot of sports, can always be controversial, but most sports put out selection policies. There's things as a coach yourself, you would be able to tell the kids, hey, this is what they're looking for. These are the type of things you need to be able to do. So what was the reason why did we not get many girls in there?
That's a good question. I've asked the question and have yet to get a response, but I asked the question how a team that can be easily the second best in the tournament that was completed only had three members out of 30, where a team that didn't even make the finals, won four games for the entire tournament, has eight out of 30. And, yeah, it's unknown.
I think a key to you being so successful, you had a couple of really good pitchers. Millie Fidge?
Yep, yes, correct. Yeah, Millie and Zali Adams, yep. And also Arahar as well.
All three of them have pitched regularly in the A-grade competition in the LA comp.
Yes, they have. Yeah, all three of them held their own and did a great job. All of them are going to finish high in, with their clubs as well, that's for sure.
Did they make the Australian team?
Yes, all three of those made it, along with another girl from Sturt, Jessie Keach.
Okay, yeah, she's not a bad player either.
She's very good, yep.
All these players, under 17 level, so they're all like 16.
Yep, they're all 16-year-olds and still and playing very good, consistent A-grade softball.
So very promising for the future of the A-grade competition and the state.
Oh, it is for sure, yep, things are looking up.
Because the Stars, the A-grade team, they finished second as well this year.
That's great, yes.
So has that been... I'm hearing that South Australian softball is really improved over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it certainly has. Yeah, we've taken steps where going 4 or 5 years back, the Stars, which is the Open Women's, struggled to win games, and now, like last year, they finished in the top four, and this year they finished second, just behind New South Wales. So.
Is there a sense, like sometimes with being a smaller state, we don't have the same number of athletes. New South Wales, like I've come from athletics and now kids in basketball, and New South Wales, Victoria. Like in Victorian basketball, there's some areas that have more players in one little district than we have in the entire state. And there's always been that sense that the eastern states, therefore, they dominate national championships, and therefore there's more of their athletes that get looked at and get selected. Do you think there's a bit of a hangover then, like for people not choosing South Australian athletes?
Yeah, well, the player pool that they have got in Sydney, like they would have probably 10 times the amount of players that actually partake in the sport in Sydney and all through New South Wales, where we probably got 2,000-3,000. They would have 2,000 in each one of their divisions, in each one of their areas. So, yeah, it's the same situation where it's the weight of numbers.
One of the things I've seen in sport generally, and this is following athletics and baseball and softball and a heap of different sports, there seems to be that eastern seaboard bias. I've seen grand finals excuses come that, you know, we'll play it in Sydney because of the Olympics or something, and Adelaide would top, and I've seen it in athletics, and I've seen it in a whole range of different sports. Why do you think there's this big push to you know, hand everything to the eastern seaboard?
I think maybe just the weight of numbers. They do have a lot more personnel at the ground roots level. So obviously the more players they've got, the more officials they've got. When it comes to national selectors, and that they've also got a bigger pool of people that have got the that are at that authority level to dictate the terms.
But on simple terms, if you go back to the under 17s, you finish second, you've beaten Queensland easily. They didn't even make the top four. They've got 8 players. They've got more than double the players selected than what South Australia had. That doesn't come under that explanation.
No, it doesn't. But, yeah, so it makes you wonder. I've asked for a explanation as to for our players to pass on as what we have to do to gain recognition and to get equality, and still waiting to get a response.
How do people get to know the girls? Like, they're young kids, so it's not like they've been exposed to a lot of national championships. So if I'm a selector, I imagine I'm going to the under-17 nationals, I need to watch all of those games, and I'm going to pick kids based on their merit.
Exactly, that's how it should be. And that's they did have 4 selectors there at the tournament, and they obviously those 4 were looking for something in particular, but obviously our girls didn't fit in those categories.
You know, I'm interested, Sean, now, obviously when you were competing in athletics yourself, you were a well-known athlete, and so was Lisa Ondiecki, the runner. So we had a few, but they were the absolute elite. But a lot of the average type of elite runners seem to all come from the eastern seaboard.
It's the same thing, isn't it? I mean, we're a small state population-wise, and therefore we're always behind the eight ball. We can have a lot of good athletes, but when you've got that critical mass of athletes, you've got much better competition. You've also got more coaches, you've got more admin people, you've got more clubs. So all those structural things that you need to grow a sport, Victoria, New South Wales have a lot more of. I mean, you guys would know all of the people involved in SA softball, and they've probably been the same people involved for a number of years working hard to improve the sport. You go to one of those big states, and as you said, there'll be that many people in one area running a competition. So it's just that, and if you're there week in, week out, like you're saying, these young girls who are playing A grade, they're the ones that made the team. They're probably really improving. But if you're in a competition every week against a lot of great athletes, then you've got to get better, don't you? And I think that's the hard thing for us. And the other disappointing thing is that when we've got athletes who work really hard, they get better, they don't get recognition. It's really hard for them to continue because it is a real letdown. And you think, well, why am I doing this? What do I need to do? So it's always disappointing. It seems that we live in this world now where equity is really important, but still in sport, it doesn't always happen.
I even look at the men's softball. We struggle to get representatives in the national men's team. I know we had one there for a little while. The pitcher from the Hills.
Yeah, Jared Farrell. Yeah, he's up for selection now. They're about to pick another team to go away for the Worlds, I think, later in June or July, and he's probably our only player that we've got this evening.
I thought I saw a selected team somewhere on Facebook or something today. I didn't see his name.
Well, it was due to be picked this week. And the head coach is a ex-South Australian. He coached the South Australian Open women's team for the last 3 years, and he's now the Australian men's coach, so he'd know all the players here in Adelaide and what their abilities were, and, yeah, none of them were selected.
I think a couple of things that have turned around South Australian softball over the last 5 or 6 years. One of them has been the import players coming on board, some of the pitching. So they've had dominated, but you can see the improvement of the batters in their determination to be better so that they could match and be competitive. And the other thing is some of these Americans have run clinics for the juniors, and I think that's had an impact as well. So that decision to bring import players, I think, has helped turn the state around.
Oh, it has certainly. We've got two at Port Adelaide. We've got Vicky McFarlane and Katie Sutherland Finch who have come over this year. And the amount of work they do with our juniors is phenomenal. They both coach one of the junior teams at the recent Country Junior Championships. They were both head coaches of one of the teams that represented Port Adelaide. So their knowledge is invaluable. You couldn't ask for it. You couldn't get that sort of experience in that anywhere. So, no, they've been perfect.
Now, we had Katie Sutherland Finch on our show, and I'll never forget the fact that she pitched that 6-inning game. She faced 18 batters and struck them all out. How incredible was that, Sean? I know you just couldn't believe it.
I couldn't. And I mean, it's very rare to have like perfection in sport, isn't it? Even when things go really well, as an athlete, or you always know that some things haven't worked. But when you've got, if you actually can do something and say that was a perfect game, that was a perfect outcome, that's pretty rare.
As a coach, how did you view that game? Were you aware of what she was doing at the time? Was it after the game that you realised, or did you know while it was happening that she was striking everyone out?
No, at the time I didn't realise, but then when it got later in the game, the other players and coaches on the bench said they haven't got a batter on yet and they haven't hit the ball into play. And so we've had a bit of a look at the scorebook and all of a sudden it's the fifth innings and she struck out 15 out of 15. And then, yeah, once she realised that herself, I think she got her wind up and thought, well, I'm going to go for it, and doesn't happen very often or very ever rarely. So she went for it and got what she deserves.
You know, I come out and watch games and I'm absolutely amazed sometimes that I just happen to go to games, special games like that. I was there watching that game and I just, in disbelief. I just could not believe it, watching her, and the batters were just being overpowered.
Yeah, yeah. It started early and obviously she struck out the first lot of batters and then she just kept building and building momentum and then she got her tail up and, she just carried on and got on a bit of a high and a roll, and, yeah, they just couldn't stop her in the end. She was just untouchable.
Now, some good news, Sean, is that both Vicky McFarlane and Katie are returning next year to Port Adelaide, which is good for Port, who were very competitive this year. They finished they made the finals but unfortunately just lost. And with them two sort of still around and some of the juniors coming up, I think Port will finally cracked that first grand final and that first premiership within a year or two.
Well, good luck to Port Adelaide. My wife will be happy since she's a company. She lived down that way. And she everything Port Adelaide she has to barrack for. So.
Well, that's the opposite to you, Sean. But anyway, any last words of wisdom?
Just to all those people that are playing at the elite level. We are working to get better and better and get more acknowledgement for our elite athletes. Hopefully we can get them up there under the eye of the people in charge and they get their just desserts.
Well, thank you very much, Butch. It's been a pleasure having you on. I'm sure we'll have you on again sometime in the future. And so ends another Carlin Low Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.